Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll read the first five verses. I'll read verse 1, and you can read verse 2 with me. We'll read responsively down there to verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Chapter 2, I'll read verse 1, and then you read verse 2 with me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And let's pray. Father, please help us this morning. Thank you again for your word. Thank you that it's perfect and it's pure. Lord, help us, please. Lord, the needs represented in this room, I pray, Father, you're the only one that can meet them all. You know each heart. I pray, Father, please, we yield ourselves to you. Please help me this morning for your glory and for your cause. In Jesus' name, amen. We started looking at Philippians last week, and I don't normally do a continuation Bible study on a Sunday morning. We normally do that on Wednesday night. But I had a purpose in looking at the book of Philippians. It is the book of joy. It's called that. There's a lot of places in the Bible you can get enjoyment from and peace and comfort. And the Bible says the things that were written aforetime were written for our comfort and our learning. Romans chapter 15. But Philippians is the place in the New Testament that is called the book of joy because God used Paul to write it while he was in prison, chained between two guards. And if the word sin isn't found one time, the word joy is found six times in four chapters. The word rejoice is found 10 times in four chapters. So it's called the book of joy because if God could use a man who loved him to pen the book of Philippians while he was in jail, then we could pull a lot from it also if we're going through hard times. And with the world being as crazy as it is right now, there's nothing encouraging on the news. Nothing. There's nothing that you look, if they're not slamming Trump, you're finding out that a new nation has just been formed in Seattle. That's six blocks by six blocks. And they're needing toiletry items. Unbelievable. And the mayor is actually supporting it, going, it's a festive time and a summer of love. I didn't know you could take something from America and it not be called treason. Now, it's just the Marine in me, okay, but I think you don't want to know. Well, yeah, I'll tell you what I think because I'm the pastor. But look, I have no problem with them going in and shooting everybody, okay? Just kill them all. If they're that for dividing America, look, there's a plane. It's going to take off. It's going to Russia. You can get on it. You're here in 5 minutes. You get shot, okay? That's just my way of dealing with things. But I didn't know you could take something land from America and then claim to not be an American. That's treason. I don't care what the cause is. So I said that to say there's nothing in the news that's encouraging. There's nothing happening. Where do you go then, child of God? It can't be CNN, the Cartoon News Network, right? There's nothing there encouraging. You have to go to your Bible. And if you aren't reading your Bible, I promise you, there's depression to follow. There's frustration, anger. The only thing that's stable in my life that doesn't change is God. Everything else around me, our freedoms are going bye-bye. Everything is changing. The America that I'm looking at is nothing like what I grew up in. Nothing. Everything is changing. But when I come to this book, this is my stability. This never changes.
Amen.
You'll get up tomorrow morning and America may be taken over by Muslims, but this book won't change. And this book is where your peace is supposed to come from. So we started looking at Philippians, and we looked at chapter 1, where you learn God begins, verse 6, God begins a great work in you, and He's going to accomplish it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if you're saved, if you've placed your faith in Christ because He died for your sins, God didn't just save you to take you to heaven. God saved you to do a work in your life. And regardless of what's going on around you, let me apply it, you can now, look, I hope America stays free. There's a lot of things I want that probably aren't going to come. I wish America was the same for my kids. It's not. But I know this. I have a job to do as a Christian that's not changed. And if you're in communist Russia in an underground church meeting where they could break you up at any moment and take you to prison, or if you're in a free country, your job is still the same. It's to get people saved and make disciples. Our job never changes. It helps when the government is peaceful, helps when things are nice. I like it when things are peaceful. But our job's the same. It just, if we go into a persecuted society, it's going to get more complex. But our job stays the same. Chapter 1 teaches you several things that you can say, regardless of what's going on, I have a job to do. We learned last week, joy is something that happens because of what God's done for you. Joy is something that only a Christian can have. Anybody can be happy. Happy is because of your happenings. Because this is happening in my life, I'm happy. But if the whole world is in a storm and chaos, you can still have joy and peace on the inside because that's something God gives you because He saves you. So what's happening on the outside should not be determining what's happening on the inside. Somebody came to me this week and they said, I'm about to lose it. Our people at our job, they're nuts. They're crazy. Sweetie, I'll quote you again. You ready? You ready? I think this is the fourth time I've done this, but I like what my wife said. She said, when we come to church, I feel like I'm with normal people. She said, when we're at home, we're with normal people. But when we go out into the world, people wearing masks and everything else, I feel like we're with a bunch of crazies. We were visiting yesterday. Brother Doggett pointed out there was a guy right in front of us in a white car. And he had his windows rolled up, but he was driving down the road with his mask on. It was crazy. It is crazy. But so I like being in church. I like, okay, the air purifiers, everything that we've done, the colloidal silver, everything that we're doing. Our church is a safe place. And I'll tell you the truth, I don't want to stop shaking hands.
Amen.
I washed my hands when I came to church. I hope you did too, but if you didn't, I still want to shake your hand. Amen? I like normal. I like, if you want an elbow bump, or I don't want a hip bump. Okay, I don't want to do that. Okay, look, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this, but I ain't doing the hip bump thing. I'm sure it goes to all different types of levels, but I like shaking hands. And when I greet you, I don't want to see your face covered. And I don't think you want me preaching with my face covered. You want to see the expression of my face. And when I'm talking to you, I want to see the expression of your face. I don't want you wearing a mask. If you will feel you have to, hey, it doesn't make you a bad person. You can wear a mask if you want. I'm just saying, I don't want to wear a mask. I want to communicate with you. Amen. Unhindered. Amen. No mask. So that's me hitting at our world. And Philippians teaches you, you can have joy because you're saved. You can have, and the world knows nothing about that. They could be losing it. There could be riots. I'm so glad it hasn't touched our area, but there could be riots. It doesn't matter. There are riots in our state. over in Ocean City. That's the east side of the Eastern Shore. Yeah. They're riding all in places, and it's horrible. It's like animals. And when you look at the people that are doing it, I like what one person on Fox News says these are people that really can't do anything else. They live in their mother's basement. In other words, these are not what you would call skilled people. They live like animals. And so when I see that, I think it doesn't matter to me. I wish it wasn't happening. I know one thing, Brother Dog and I, we were talking. If I saw a riot happening, I watched that one guy preach to a crowd, you know, Jesus is here, and Jesus wants to save you, and, you know, death in hell is worse than physical death, and he's preaching. They took and started strangling him, got him down on the ground. I was like, didn't Jesus say if they don't want to hear you to brush your feet off and go to the next town? If somebody didn't want to hear it, my goodness, I couldn't figure out why he was preaching. I was like, that's sad. If I saw a riot happening or a crowd, I'd turn around and go the other way. I want to live to preach another day, amen? I wouldn't head into that. I said that to say our world's crazy. It's nutso. But the book of Philippians is the book of joy where you can come to and you can have the peace of God and the joy of the Lord every day, regardless of what's happening around you. So we learned some truths from chapter 1. Today, chapter 2, let me just point out to you again. Notice how he's pleading here in verse 1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, notice the comma, Verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. We have to work in this time of the world to stay focused. Remember I told you, our purpose stays the same. We're to be making disciples, trying to get people saved, and trying to make disciples and grow them in the Lord. That's our purpose. And God says here, if there's anything good in your church, if there's anything Christ-like, anything biblical going on, verse 1, then verse 2, you work together as a church to be like-minded. Stay focused. Keep the goal the same thing. Well, Pastor, don't you think we ought to go, preach to the protesters? No, I don't. I think we need to go door knocking. I think we need to go soul winning. We need to have prayer meetings. We need to stay focused on winning the lost to Christ. Well, Pastor, shouldn't we take up a class? We can do that, but let's stay focused, be like-minded. You have to work. All of us would think, well, this is important. Well, no, this is important. God says, keep the same goal as a church. Work together. Remember what God taught you. And look, that only happens one way. In this time, you have to be reading your Bible. I told somebody, he said, I'm about to lose it. And I said, you know what I'm noticing in this time that we're going through here in America? I need more Bible. I need more than I've ever need. I've always needed Bible. But right now, in the chaos, I need more. 4 or 5 chapters a day in the book, it isn't working for me. I need more. I need more prayer. I'm spending more time in prayer because of what I'm watching happen. What I used to, remember? AC, okay, after COVID, BC, before COVID. I'm finding the AC after COVID, I'm needing more Bible and prayer than I did BC. And I looked at the person, I was trying to encourage them because they're a church member here. And I said, you need more. You need more Bible right now. What you were doing before all this stuff happened, nice place to start, but you're going to have to up it if you're going to maintain your sanity and the peace and the joy that's within. If there be any consolation in Christ, be like-minded. Look, I only love you as I love God. What did verse 4 say? Watch this. Verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And he ties it in chapter 2 with verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will, watch this, naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. If you don't work at it as a Christian, we're all naturally selfish. Romans 7 teaches me there's nothing good in me. The only way I can love you properly is if I walk with God. I don't have the love to give you that you need. God does. And if I'll get in tune with God, it can flow through me to you. And watch this. That's the only way you love people, because all of us naturally, we don't care for other people. There's no man that naturally cares for the things of other people. We're naturally self-centered. We're naturally jerks. And I'm telling you right now, verse 1 and 2, he's begging and pleading. He's saying, you want this joy? No matter what's happening, because here's what the world does. When you start going through it and the pressure starts mounting, and am I going to lose my job? And this financial pressure, what? It starts causing you to focus inwardly. And if you don't work at it, you're going to become more selfish because the world is getting more violent. And God says, we shouldn't do that. We don't operate on their wavelength. We're supposed to be focused. Look, Christian, you want to get along in the church? The only reason people don't get along is because they're not reading their Bible and walking with God like they should. You lose your walk with God, people are going to start irritating you. Look, I'll irritate you. And it's not because I'm doing it on purpose. I have a personality that I work at letting come out when I preach. But yeah, I promise you this, if you don't read your Bible and pray and walk with God right now during these times, I'm going to say something from the pulpit that's going to tick you off. To be like-minded, we have to work at not being selfish, and I have to get in tune with God so that He can love through me. I can't meet your needs. God can, though, if I pray for you and love you. God can flow through me. And watch this, God can flow through you, too. I'm not looking for your love. I'm trying to help us as a church, as the pastor, to be like-minded. Could I just encourage you this morning? I hope because of the chaos, you don't need to find out more of what the news is saying than your Bible. Well, no, I got to find out. I mean, there's chaos. I know that. It ain't changing, and you ain't changing it. But you could read your Bible. Don't let what's going on lessen this. So what do you learn from Philippians? For me to have the joy of the Lord and to rejoice in what God's done in my life, I have to stay focused. And He's telling you, if at all costs, because once He tells us to be like-minded, read verse 2. It says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love. If you stop right there, what's it mean having the same love? I work very hard at not being partial. I would hate for one person in our church to feel I wouldn't talk to them, but I would talk to somebody else in our church. Well, Pastor, he spends more time with those people because he likes them better than me. If you don't walk with God, you're going to have all types of mind games. The devil just has a heyday with people like that. He'll bring things to your mind that have never been said. Till finally, Pastor didn't shake my hand today. Watch. Then it goes here. I'll bet it's because he hates me. Do you know how many? I've been in church 35 years. Do you know how many people I've heard say that? Right. Pastor hates you. Did he say that? No. No, he didn't. No, but I can tell. Really? You have the gift of reading minds? Well, no, I can just tell. Do you know how many people leave church because they suppose things that have never been said? Oh, I know why that happened. Did you hear it? No, I just know. I'm gifted that way. No. No, you're selfish and you're self-centered and you think everything revolves around you. It's just like the teenage girls in school. Are you having a good day? No. How come?
Everybody's talking about me.
Everybody? You mean everybody came to school mentioning your name?
I've heard teenage girls say that when I was in the Christian school. One of the girls I looked at and I said, as soon as you quit being selfish, you'll stop supposing that everybody's thinking about you. I said, I promise you right now, maybe one or two people mentioned your whole name today in the school. Bump yourself out of your selfishness. It ain't all about you. I never thought about it that way. That's why I'm here. I'm here to help you. Amen. Christian, same thing's true in church. We need to work at having the same love towards one another. Same love. I may have people, look, all of us have people that irritate us without God. But the old statement goes this way, nobody's bad. There's people that are more broken than others. They've been through a lot more hurt. Maybe they found out some bad news this week. They're scared. Maybe they just got told they have cancer. Maybe they just got told that their family member's going to pass this week, stage four. So you got to give people leeway. You have to, look, if you treat me in I don't want to say I don't care. I don't want anybody spitting on me when I come to church. But if you treat me in a bad way, I'd like to think I love you enough to give you the benefit of the doubt. To where if I was mistreated, I could say, they're just having a bad day. So I can do what? Have the same love. God says, if you're going to love everybody the same and not play favorites and not be a respecter of persons, you got to work at it because it isn't natural. Look at this. In verse 2, he says, be like-minded, have the same love. Watch this. And be, let me see here, of one accord, that's focused, that's all focused on the same thing, of one mind. And we've hit that, and that happens as you stay in your Bible and as you walk with God. Now, it says here, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Church is never supposed to be a power struggle. We don't measure spiritual strength by how many people like you when you come to church. That's the way the world operates. Popularity, fame, control. Jesus said, he that is great among you, let him be your servant. We measure spiritual strength in our community as a church by how many people can you be a blessing to and help. That's how spiritual strength is measured. It's not how many people know you or how many people shake when you come into the room. That's the way the world operates. We don't operate that way. It says here, let nothing, be careful, Christian, during this time if you want joy. He's in jail. He's in a rough time. He's saying, I can make it. You can make it. However, be like-minded and make sure that nothing you do is through strife or vainglory. It ain't about you. It ain't about your reputation, because he's going to illustrate that with giving Jesus as our goal here. And he says, watch this. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And then God tells us how to look at each other. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look, it'd help if every one of us saw every one of us as God brought you to this church and put you here to help somebody else. I try to watch that for everybody. But I'm supposed to esteem you, look at you, better than myself. Every one of you knows something I don't know. So therefore, I have a lifetime to learn from you what God wants you to teach me. And I also know some things that you don't know. So I'm going to try to teach you. And we're supposed to esteem each other better than ourselves. Because if you ever look down on anybody, they'll tick you off. They're low life, right? Well, who are you to? Do you know who I am? What do you mean to know who you are? No, I probably don't. I'm going to miss it. So I'm just better off esteeming everybody better than me. And as long as your attitude is this way, I'm not a doormat. You know what the word meekness means? Humility is when you look at God and you realize your place. I'm a dirt ball saved by grace. I don't deserve nothing from God. That's humility is this way. Meekness is when I view everybody else as equal. I don't look up to you, and I definitely don't look down to you. I treat you equal. I can look you square in the eye and talk to you, one sinner saved by grace, talking to another sinner saved by grace, right? That's level. God says you got to work at that because the world will push you to focus on yourself. And that's what verse 4 is going to tell us, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Then the next, from verse 5 all the way down to verse number 11, he's going to tell you about the Lord Jesus. Because it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this way of thinking, let this purposeful thinking be in you that was also in Jesus Christ. Remember the goal. The goal is for me to become less like myself and more like Jesus. I'm not supposed to do things my way. Christian, one who reminds others of Christ. That's the goal. I'm a Christian as I treat others the way Jesus would treat them. As I help others the way Jesus would help them. I have nothing to give. And in a day of turmoil, what do you learn from the book of Philippians? End goal is, you know what? I'll get along with everybody just fine, like he just pleaded, if I'll just work at me being like Jesus. Because I'm far from it. I've learned some things. I don't cuss like I used to. Praise God. I don't cuss at all, by the way. Oh, good. He doesn't cuss like he used to. I don't cuss at all. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. There's victory in my life in that area. I don't even think cuss words anymore. There's been times I almost do, okay? And then I catch it, and I'm like, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. But I don't even think cuss words anymore. God's brought some victory into my life. But can I tell you, I got a long ways to go. My pride is a monster. I'm a beast on the inside. And I'm amazed that God wants to spend time with me. And I need God every day. The goal of the Christian life, you can learn the Bible and not apply it to your life. You can memorize the Bible verse and not apply it to your life. Although I'm for you memorizing the Bible. But when you leave church today, the goal is, I want to be like Jesus. That only happens as you read the book, as you learn him. And you treat, you know who Jesus got really angry at? The religious crowd. The whited sepulchers, though the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those that named the name of God but had nothing to do with him, that did it for money's sake. There were things Jesus got furious at that, watch this, if you're like Jesus, you get furious at those things too. Jesus didn't put up with everything. Jesus called Peter Satan. Remember that? Lord forbid that you should die. Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't care about the things of God. You only care about yourself. How would you like Jesus to call you the devil? You're so self-centered, and the only person you care about is you. You're just like Satan. It's one thing if somebody tells you that. It's another thing when Jesus tells you that. Amen? Can I tell you something? I can get very self-centered and nasty if I don't work at yielding to God. The goal is supposed to be, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm supposed to let what I read in the Bible affect my life so I can be more like Jesus. That's supposed to be the measuring tag. If I asked you, Christian, if you compared yourself to Jesus, he's the master. He's the maker. He's the savior. Where are you at? Then I should want to think like him, because I don't all the time. but I should want to. That's the goal of being a Christian. He lives inside me, because once you learn about Jesus, well, just watch this. Look what he says. To learn who Jesus is, who being in the form of God, verse 6, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What's that mean? Jesus knew he was God in the flesh. He knew he was the very essence. The word form, it means the very essence of God, who being in the very essence of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's what angered the Jews. You said you were before Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am the Creator. And that angered them so much they took up stones. We'll kill you for saying that. Jesus said, I know who I am. I know who I am. You know what the first thing about being a Christian is? You need to know that you're a child of God. Just like Jesus knew he was God Almighty in the flesh, if you're going to have that mind, then you need to know God lives inside of you. You're the dwelling place of God if you've trusted him as your Savior, and you're a child of the King, and you need to know who you are. Then there should be things you do and things you don't do because of who you are. I know who I am. I belong to God. Nothing changes that. Philippians 1:6. I know who I am. And there's things I don't do. There's places I don't go. There's things I don't say. There's things I don't wear because of who I am. Jesus said, being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Look at the next verse. He said, but made himself of no reputation. Wow. If you just took that one little phrase, Jesus could have cared less what others thought about him because he knew who he was. Reputation is what other people think you are. Character is what God knows you are. Reputation is what you do in the daytime in front of other people. Your character is what you do in front of God when the lights are out. And Jesus said, I don't own anything because my life isn't based on its value, based on what I own. He didn't own a house. He didn't own a camel. Bible said he had no place to lay his. And when they stripped him of everything, including his clothing, and hung him on a cross, he was still God Almighty, dying for his creation. You could not take his character from him. Even though they said, if you're really the Son of God, come on down. He said, I'm doing this for you. You don't even know who I am. I'm the Creator dying for your sins. I need to hear, God says, made himself of no reputation. It's a wonderful day in your life as a Christian when you quit caring what other people think about you and you're concerned about what God thinks about you. It's a wonderful day in your life when you as a Christian start, and watch this, I don't say this to be mean, I say this because this is a reality check. For you to grow in the Lord, you have to be able to kindly look at people and say, I don't live for you. I want you happy. I hope you are happy. But I'm not here for you. I'm here for God. Just like you are. And the day you quit caring what everybody thinks, do you like me? What's Facebook say? What's Instagram say? What's Twitter say? Oh, have you ever seen a day when opinions count? What useless opinions? Who cares what you think? What you said offended me. Who cares? Did God like what you said? If God was offended, then I highly suggest you confess your sin to God and get right with God. But you're always going to say something that offends somebody. If they don't like God, they're going to hate what you say when you say what's right. If they love God, when you say what's wrong, that's going to offend them. You can't go without offending somebody. So who cares what anybody's opinion is? Make yourself of no reputation. And I watch, it's so sad to me. I watch Christian be destroyed because they're so concerned about what their family thinks and what their, at Christmas time, everybody's got to buy $20 gifts. I said, well, can you afford it? Well, you can't this year. Cause I said, well then, no, Dad will have a fit. So you're going to put yourself in hock because of pressure, and you're going to spend money you don't have because of family pressure. It's so, you're too worried about your reputation. So let the debt come. then what always follows debt? Depression. That's so sad to me. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Where's your house at, Jesus? Don't have one. You don't own a house? Do you at least own a car, a camel? He didn't even have one of those. He had one set of clothes. One. Well, what would everybody think? Are you homeless? No. I don't belong here. I'm from another world. I'm from my Father's world. Christian, take that one little phrase, made himself of no reputation. If I'm going to be like Jesus, I have got to stop caring what other people think about me and start living according to God. Look, I do think clothes matter, but I don't dress to make everybody happy. I think you ought to be dressed the way you're going to come to church, step in front of the mirror and say, God, are you happy with this? I wish people, but when they went to the beach, I wish they'd do that too. Be nice. God, are you happy with me exposing parts of my body that are only supposed to be seen by the one I'm married to? Reputation. Well, I've got to maintain a reputation, an image. I'm getting so sick of image and marketing. And if you're this, green is used for this, and this is in, and this width of a tie, and don't go narrow, and don't let it, and, oh, pastor wears button-down collars. Those went out 5 years ago. And, oh, it's clean. It don't stink. Amen. Amen. Ain't got a coffee stain all the way down. I wash my clothes. My wife helps me. Praise God. Who made himself of no. If you focused on that, for me to be like Jesus, I cannot grow spiritually and be like Jesus if I'm more concerned about my reputation. Take that one thought. There's a lot there. Look what else I'm trying to do. Why are we looking at this morning? Because I'm trying to show you there's a book in your Bible that tells you quit thinking about what's going on in the world. You're not going to change it. Focus on you being like Christ. What does God, doing what God wants you to do, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, and then watch, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Didn't Jesus say, he that is great among you, let him be your servant? And Jesus was our example. Nobody served like Jesus served. How can I help you? How can I meet your needs? How can I, do you need prayer? Do you need encouragement? How can I serve you? That's supposed to be all of our attitudes towards each other. I don't know that you have to, I do, but I watch when people come to church without a smile. I've seen people come in church, won't look at anybody in the eye. I watch them not sing. I'm up here. I see it. I'm thinking. I'm not oblivious. Hope they had a good week. Hope everything's okay. Because something's bugging them, right? Hope God you can use the sermon and the truth to help them. Because it looks like they're not, they put up a wall, got bricks all the way up to here, can't get through. How you doing? Fine. I see that. I praise God, I don't see it all the time, but I pay attention. How come they can't smile? How come they can't sing? Who made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant. How can I help you? That is Christ-like. How can I help you? Watch this, not do anything, but how can I help you be a better Christian? Can I encourage you? If I'm going to have the mind of Christ and have the peace of God and have the joy of the Lord, I have to focus on me being like Jesus, chapter 2. And then it says here, and being found in fashion, verse 8, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Okay, it's one thing when you say, I'm just a servant of the Lord. Jesus, remember he prayed, Father, I wish this cup could pass from me. He knew what he was getting ready to bear the weight of the sin of all mankind. He knew what he was getting ready to suffer. And it says he sweat great drops of blood and he prayed, Father, I wish this cup could be passed from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. You know what Christianity teaches you? There's things God's going to ask you to do that you don't like. And your strength as a Christian is, can you be obedient unto death? God isn't going to ask anybody in here to die next week. But when he asks you to help somebody, go be an encouragement to that person. And you just might particularly have a personality conflict with them. Can you do what God told you to do? Can you serve others when it goes against your grain? That's what this is talking about. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the most torturous death you could die. He said, I don't want to do this, but Father, I will. His flesh felt the weight of the sin. Who wouldn't? To know you're going to be tortured to death for 6 hours, you're going to suffer. Physically and spiritually. Christian, let me apply this to me. When I read this, I think, I hope when God tells me something, I never tell him no. When God says, get this out of your life, stop doing this, I hope I go, yes, Lord. I want you to start doing this. You haven't been doing this like you know you should. I want you to start right now. And Holy Ghost of God touches your heart. I hope you can say, yes, Lord. I'm just a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know what's wonderful about this chapter? Philippians chapter 2. He's trying to teach us how to have joy in spite of what's going on in the world. But if you ever start focusing on you being like Jesus and you growing as a Christian, you won't have any time to gripe at other people. Amen. You've got your hands full. And you'll notice this in your Christian life. When you do start looking at others going, oh, they don't do this, I do. Oh, did you see what they just did? I don't do that. Anytime you start doing this, your relationship with the Lord isn't what it should be. When you see somebody sin, it either makes you feel good because you're not doing it, that shows that you're backslidden, or it breaks your heart because you know they're not loving the Lord like they should. And they're only happy when they're loving the Lord, right? And if you look at people, I live this way and they don't. Christian, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's a lot in that passage right there. I'm trying to just give you some hints toward it. And would you like to have joy and the peace of God in the midst of chaos and crazies? Why don't you focus on being a Christian like Jesus? I hope when I'm in somebody's presence, I hope I don't, I know I've got a worldly past and I don't want to sing worldly songs. They're up here and I wish they'd leave. They don't. But I hope if you heard me humming around the church, I hope it's, I'd hate to be humming an old rock song. Where'd you hear that? Well, I heard my pastor. I'd hate to influence somebody in a worldly way. I'd like to influence somebody to keep trying for the Lord. Amen? To keep growing in the Lord. And I hope when you leave church, you feel like, you know what? I'm not perfect, and I do have a lot of work to do, but I can grow an inch this week. I can keep moving towards God. Let this mind be in you. Christian, we all got a lot to focus on if we'll quit listening to the news, read our Bible, and focus on us. Chapter 2 teaches you going to have to work at getting along, but that only happens as your relationship with the Lord is strong. Read your Bible and work at being a Christian, thinking like Jesus, serving. Let's pray. Father, use this truth, please. I wish it to help each person. Lord, amidst